There's a man sitting in a hospital room, and he's a terminal illness, and his children come to visit him every day. One day the son walks in, normally it's routine, one day the son walks in, and he pulls the son closer and he says to him, listen to me, he's been a religious, whatever religion, his whole life. He says to him, I want to convert. Go get the minister or whatever of the other religion present in the hospital and bring them over because I want to convert. The son is a little astounded at him. He says, your whole life you've been practicing this religion, now all of a sudden you want to switch to the other religion. What's going on? Thought he lost his mind. So he pulls him a little bit closer and he says, he knows the end is near, he's not going to make it that much longer, and he wants to convert because better one of them than us. And it's a very warped reason, of course, for converting. I don't know if there is a more warped reason for converting, but one would be surprised as to the motivations of those who want to convert to a different religion. Often, if not almost all the time, it is not for purely altruistic reasons. It might also be for altruistic reasons, but it's not solely because of that. And that's going to be the topic of today's shiur, is how does halacha react to someone who wants to come and convert for a secondary motivation, something that is not purely just to join the Jewish religion. If one knows anything about Jewish history, one will know, one could ask himself, why would one want to be a Jew? In most periods of Jewish history, it was not advantageous to be a Jewish person, if not detrimental. So why would one want to be a Jew? And in fact, in most periods of Jewish history, that's why the literature on the topic is kind of a bunch. Because only at certain periods of Jewish history do you find people wanting to join the Jewish religion because it was advantageous. So for example, in the period of Mordechai and Esther, which the Gemara addresses and will address, it was advantageous to be a Jew. Because at that time the Jewish people, they had just had a Yeshua, they were great salvation, and it was a prosperous time to be a Jew. And in modern times, we find in the state of Israel, one has certain zchuyos, one has certain privileges if one is Jewish versus if one is not. And again, the shiloh have popped up. What if one is converting for a secondary purpose? So let's begin with a Gemara, which on mine, I think, is source number 5, which is the Gemara Nivamas and Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, which begins as follows. Tana Rabbanon, Ger Shebol is Gair Bizman Azeh, a Ger who comes to convert in our times. Omrim Lo, we say to him, Ma Ra'is Shebol is Gair. Why are you coming to Gerus? Why do you want to convert? Very famous halacha. Ia Toyodeh She Yisrael Bizman Azeh, don't you know that the Jews in our times, Dvuyim, Dchufim, Schufim, Turafim, terrible things, the Jews are lost, persecuted, Yisurim Boin Olayim, they're persecuted terribly. Why do you want to be a Jew? Im Omer, if he says, Yodea ani ve'ini chdai, I know about this and I'm not worthy. Mekabu noso miyad. Then we accept him as a ger. But we have our initial knee-jerk reaction to a person who comes to a basin for gerus is to try and push them off. We don't really want to encourage potential gerim. Why not? Why do we do this? So the Rav once explained in an address to the RCA, I think in 1975, but in the early 70s, when this was a hot topic because of the Matzav in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rav addressed this at the RCA convention, and he offered a very interesting shot in this Gemara, which I think is slightly homiletical, but it's very interesting. He suggested the reason we originally push off the ger, and we tell them, don't you know that Jewish history is full of persecutions and terrible things that happen to the Jewish people? It's not because we want to discourage the ger, but because part of gerus entails accepting all mitzvos. Accepting to do Torah mitzvos. And said the Rav, it doesn't only mean that the ger accepts to do Torah mitzvos, but he has to accept to be part of Am Yisrael. He has to accept Jewish history. We're asking him, when he first comes to us, don't you know the history of this people?
not to discourage him, but as part of his gerus is to identify with the Jewish people as a nation. And that entails identifying with their history as well. So we're not discouraging him so much as initiating him. However, that's not the way the Gemara is generally understood. It's generally understood that we are discouraging him. Why are we discouraging him? And I think the Meiri there says it explicitly, and I think this is the way it's generally understood, is based on another Gemara, which is the Gemara Nivamas on Chav Dalet on Mebeis, the next source on the sheet, which goes as follows. This is the major source for Gerim coming to convert for other motivations. Begins with the Mishnah. Haniton al Hashivcha v'nishtachra. Haniton means someone who there is a suspicion about him or her that they had a relationship with a non-Jewish man or woman before they have converted. There's a suspicion. There's a rumor. So Haniton al Hashivcha. There's a rumor about this man that he had a relationship with a Shivcha. And she then became freed. Oh, al Ha'ovedes Kochab v'nishtachra. There was a rumor about him that he had a relationship with a non-Jewish woman. And then she converted. Harezelo Yichnos. He's not allowed to marry her. Meaning, there was a rumor about it. She converted, so she converted. He's still not allowed to marry her. Ve'imkonas ein motzi miyado. If they did get married, though, we don't make them get divorced. Says the Gemara. Then after the period is the Gemara. That was a Mishnah. Says the Gemara. The inference is Hagiyaris miyahavi. Again, she had a relationship, there was a rumor she had a relationship with a Jewish man. She comes to the Beis Din for Gerus. So we said, the Mishnah says, if she's Megayer, he can't marry her. But the Gemara says, it does sound like her Gerus is good. She converted, presumably, to continue her relationship with this Jewish man. And the Gerus is good. Viramini, I'll ask you that there's a brisa which contradicts it. Echad ish in his gairushim isha. Either a man who converts to marry a woman, ve'echad isha shenis garushum ish, or a woman who converts to be with a man, a Jewish man, ve'chemi shenis garushem shum mochshochem alachum shem avdei shlomo, or to attain a prestigious position, einan gerim. They are not gerim. Divrei Reb Nechemia. Reb Nechemia's opinion is that if a person converts for an ulterior motive, that the gerus is no good. Shahai Reb Nechemia Omer, Echad Gerei Arayos Ve'Echad Gerei Chalomos. A person converts because he's afraid of something, or because of some sort of chalom. Ve'Echad Gerei Mordechai Ve'Esther. Or if a person converts at a time when it's prosperous to be Jewish, such as the times of Mordechai and Esther. Einon Gerim. The Gerus is no good. Ad She Yizgayru Bizmanazeh. Until they convert in modern times. What is modern times? Was the context where the Gemara was written? We're reading the Talmud Bavli. So the context in which the Gemara was written was in Bavel, Golos Bavel. That time the Jews were secondary citizens, so second class citizens. So who would want to be a Jew? So then at that time you can accept Gerim. But when the Jews are the first class citizens, then you can't accept Gerim. Bizman hazeh sal kadaitach? You think it has to be in modern times? Okay, ema ki bizman hazeh. It has to be similar to modern times when Jews are second class citizens. So this contradicts the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that a person who there was a rumor about him that he had a relationship with a non-Jewish woman and she converts, he can't marry her, but if he marries her, we don't make him get divorced. So Gemara says, you see, that the Gerus is good. But that contradicts the opinion of Reb Nechemia. Reb Nechemia's opinion is that a person who converts for another purpose, an ulterior motive, the Gerus is no good. Ha'itmar Allah, says the Gemara. The Gemara responds, but we have a different statement. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Mishmei de Rav, whose statement quoted in the name of Rav, Halacha Kedivrei HaOmer Kulam Gerim Heim. The Halacha is like those who disagree with Reb Nechemia. We don't know who it is. The Gemara doesn't tell us who it is. But Halacha Kedivrei HaOmer Kulam Gerim Heim. There are those who disagree, and we paskin that if a person converts for an ulterior motive, the Gerus is good. This is what Gerus is based on, primarily Bizman Hazeh. Someone told me, who was involved in Gerus, Halacha L'maisa, that they recently had a case, this was like an oddity, believe it or not. They recently had a case of a man who was living in the southern part of the United States, and was sitting on his couch, and he picked up the Kuzari, for Rabbi Yehuda Levi, which is really a book addressing someone who's searching for the proper religion. And it goes through a lot of the philosophical arguments about Judaism and other religions. And he decided after reading the Kuzari that he wanted to become Jewish. They called up the Beis Din, the local Beis Din, I want to convert. That is like, they couldn't believe such a case still exists. That is not the reason for most people coming to be Megayer. And most Geirus is for some ulterior motive. And this is all based on this Gemara Nivamos that Kulam Geirim Heim. If a person converts for an ulterior motive, the Geirus is good. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, if that's the case, let them get married. Why do we say they can't get married? If her geirus is good, a person, there's a rumor she had a relationship with a man who is Jewish. She's not Jewish. So the Mishnah says, her geirus is okay, fine, so the geirus is good. Sounds like you're not allowed to accept them as a geir. Kulam geirim heim. If you did, the geirus is good, but really, we shouldn't accept them. That's why we ask the geir when he first comes. Why are you coming? If you're coming for an ulterior motive, we don't want you. But if you did the conversion, it is okay. Why can't they now get married? Because we're afraid of what people might say. What are we afraid? What are people going to say? So we'll get to that hopefully in a few minutes. Therefore, since one is originally, you're not allowed to accept the ger if he's coming for an ulterior motive, we will not accept ger and we must Mashiach, because at that time it would be prosperous to be a Jew, and they did not accept ger in the times of David and Shlomo. So again, let's just review what it says in the Gemara, because this is the basis for this entire halacha, which is, we learned three things from this Gemara. Number one, if a ger comes to convert for an ulterior motive, we're not allowed to accept him. That's why we ask the ger, why are you coming? That's why we can't accept the ger when it's prosperous to be a Jew. That's number one. Number two, the Gemara says, but we paskin kulam gerim heim. If you did accept them, the geris is chav, it's effective. And number three is, that even though the geris is effective, if the original reason was that this person was coming to convert was because of a previous relationship with a Jew, they're not allowed to get married. Because if we're afraid of what people might say. That's what comes out from this Gemara, three basic points. Therefore, the Gemara says, at the times of Mordechai and Esther, they did not accept Gerim. The problem is, this seems to contradict the Pasuk in the Megillah. You look at the first source, the Pasuk says in Megillah, Esther, V'chol Medina, Medina, V'chol Ir V'Ir, after Achashverosh repealed the Gzera of Haman, and there was a Gzera Gatov, V'chol Medina, Medina, V'chol Ir V'Ir, Makom Asher Zvel HaMelech V'dasom HaGiyah, Simcho V'Sosom HaYehudim, the Jews were so happy, Mishnah V'Yom Tov, it was wonderful to be a Jew. Many of the Ame Ha'aretz made themselves Jewish. I think Misyahadim, maybe someone knows grammar better than me, but I think that's Lashon Hispa'el, reflexive. They made themselves Jewish, which is an odd way of saying it. Because they became afraid of the Jewish people. Rashi there says, it's not in the Marmikamos, but Rashi there says, what does it mean, misyahadim, a strange language. They made themselves Jewish, it means they were Megayer, misgayrim. They were Megayer. But we just learned the Gemara that says, that when it's prosperous to be a Jew, you can't accept Gayrim. So how are they able to accept these people as Gayrim? So the Hasidim say a pshat, it solves the problem, but I don't know if it's necessary. It's interesting. The Hasidim say that what this means is a rabbi may ame haaretz. It doesn't mean non-Jews. It means Jews, unaffiliated Jews. Ame haaretz, hayu misyahadim. They became more religious. Nice pshat. However, that's not the approach taken by the Rishonim. Needless to say. The Rishonim say, Rashi says, misgayrim, they converted. So the general approach, I'll just tell you outside, but then there are two nuances I want to bring out. The general approach is, misyahadim is a strange language. So Rashi says misgayrim, which means they converted. However, other Rishonim understand what it means is misyahadim, they've made themselves look Jewish. What do you mean misgayrim? You can't be Megayer yourself. You walk into the Beis Din, the Gemara says the person who's Megayer himself, he's sitting in the room, has milah, tefillah, kabbalah, or mitzvos, ain't no ger. You have to go to a Beis Din. You have to walk into the Beis Din and say, can you please accept me as a ger? A prospective ger. We have to first then accept him. So how could they be Megayer themselves? reflexive language. So the Rishonim say it means they made themselves look Jewish. They bought yarmulkes, they bought tzitzis, subscribed to Agamemnon's journal, but they weren't really Jewish. They made themselves look Jewish. The Gra, the second source on the sheet of the Bira, Gra, Megillas Esther, he takes this approach, but he throws something else in, a little monkey wrench. Perish. Kilo kiblu osam. Of course they didn't accept them as Gerim. Kimo shamanu, she'em ekabim Gerim yimei Mordechai. We can't accept Gerim in times of Mordechai when his crowd was to be a Jew. Vo! Shelo hayu Gerim gemurim. Says the Gra, and even though they were Megayer, even if they would have been Megayer, we can accept them. But let's say we did accept them. They wouldn't be Gerim Gemurim. Full Gerim. What does that mean? Either you're Jewish or you're not Jewish. What is Gerim Gemurim? A plus. What does that mean? Kilon is Gaira Umahwas HaPachat. The Gra says since they were only Megayer because they were afraid, Kinofal Pachat Yudim Alehem, they're not Gerim Gemurim. That doesn't make any sense. We just learned the Gemara. The Gemara says that what's the halacha if one converts for an ulterior motive? We shouldn't accept you, but what if we did? Kulam Gerim Hay. They are Gerim. So what does the Gra mean? Kulam is Gerim, they're not Gerim Gemurim. Of course they are. Put that in your pocket. Hopefully we'll get back to that. Ukak Sim Mis Yahadim. Therefore the language of the Pasuk is they made themselves Jewish, Sha'asu Atman Ki Yehudim. They made themselves look like Jews. Therefore the Gra says, since of course we couldn't have accepted them as Jews, because the time of his prosperous to be a Jew, we don't accept converts, must be that they made themselves look Jewish. He's echoing the Rishonim. The Manos HaLevi, an earlier commentary on the Megillas Esther, Rishonim HaLevi Alkabet, throws in a different twist. He says, Umar Shekosa, B'Rabim Me'ame Aris Misyahadim, the next source on the sheet, El Shov Kivoi Boim Uzgayar Atman. Of course they weren't coming to convert themselves. They knew they weren't going to accept them. Why wouldn't they accept them? So he gives an original reason. In Wafisha Kashim Gerim Yisrael. The Gemara says in a few places, the member of Rabbi Albo, Kashim Gerim Yisrael Kesapachas. Gerim are difficult on the Jewish people like a wart. And there are a myriad, I think I've once counted, 7 or 8 Perushim in the Rishonim, what does that mean? Some in a negative way, some in a positive way, that the Gerim are so good that they make us all look bad. That's the positive approach, or there's a negative approach. But Kashim Gerim Yisrael, Gerim are difficult for the Jewish people, so that's why they wouldn't have accepted them. Certainly these, who are from the Zera of Amalek, the descendants of Amalek, Im Hayosha Omar Meyame Haaretz. Haman was a descendant of Amalek, and these people were the followers of Haman, so they presumably took on the status of Amalek, and then they came to convert, so of course they didn't accept them. Therefore they made themselves look Jewish, they changed their clothing to be Jewish clothing. So in fact they were not Jewish. So we have two, the Manos HaLevi throws in another reason why we would not have accepted them as a ger. Number one, because it's prosperous to be a Jew at the times of Mordechai v'Esther, so it must be Misyahadim. They made themselves look Jews, but in fact they were not. Not like Rashi, who says they were Megayer. And the Manos HaLevi throws in a parenthetical comment, and also they were Zera Amalek. We don't accept Gerim from Amalek. Is that true? We don't accept Gerim from Amalek? Oh, excellent. Very good. We'll get to it in a second. So in fact, if you look at the next source, there's a Medrash Tanchum at the end of Parshas Kisese. Tani B'Shem Rabbi Loi. A bright name of Rabbi Loi. Shvua Nizba HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a Shvua. Im Yavo Gerim Mikolum HaSa'olam Ani Mikablon. If Gerim will come from any nation of the world, I will accept them. Vizaro Shel Amalek, Eini Mikablon Liyolam. I will never accept a Ger from Amalek. So the Medrash seems to say explicitly that we do not accept Gerim from Amalek. Problem is, the Rambam never quotes this halacha. Which is curious. Seems like the Rambam already punches a hole in the armor of this halacha. But also we have a Gemara Maseches Gittin. The Gemara says Maseches Gittin on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis that we have a tradition that we b'nei banav shel Haman lamdu Torah b'nei Brach. The Gemara says we have a tradition about the grandchildren of Sancheirev, the grandchildren of Nebuchadnezzar, all did nice things. And what? The grandchildren of Mibnei Banim, Shohamam, Lamdu Tarb of Mebrak. As far as I know, there are no. Huh? Okay, it's not Ben Achar Ben. And in order to be Mesiachis to Amok, you have to be Ben Achar Ben. Amok Kolech Achar Ben. Right, okay. Mi b'nei banav shohaman lam du Torah b'nei brak. But as far as I know, we don't have non-Jews learning Torah b'nei brak. So it must be that these Jews, that these Amalekim converted. How could they have converted? We just said you don't accept Gerim from Amalek. It's a Medrash Tanchuma. So it's a problem, and this is something which is discussed by many Mepharshim. I'll just give you one. This is a parenthetical to our topic, really. But it's Nogea to Megillah. And certainly the Parsha Zohar, which is coming up in a few weeks, can we accept Gerim from Amalek or not? The Monos HaLevi learned that that's the Shalom Pasek, Misyahadim. That's why they weren't real Gerim, because they were from Amalek. So Rabbi Mursky, the Sefer called Higyone Halacha, it's very popular now in modern times. So he quotes an answer for this Kasha based on something that Reb Chaim said, a very important idea that Reb Chaim said. Reb Chaim notices a funny thing in the language of the Rambam. There are two mitzvahs that we have to kill out nations. First one is Hacharem Tacharimei, to kill out the seven nations that inhabited Eretz Yisrael when the Jews came in the times of Yoshua. To kill them all out. The Rambam writes that Ukvar Ovad Zichron. We don't know who these seven nations are anymore. Because the Gemara says Sancheirev Bilbos Kula Umos, Sancheirev mixed up all the nations of the world, and we don't know who's from this nation, who's from that nation. The Rambam says, Kfar Ovad Zichron. We don't know who they are. When the Rambam gets to Amalek, right after that, the Rambam quotes the halacha that we have to wage a mechama against Amalek. The Rambam does not say, Kfar Ovad Zichron. Why not? How do we know who they are? What happened to Sancheirev, Bilbel, Eskul, Umos? What happened to the fact that Sancheirev mixed up all the nations of the world? So Chaim explains that Amalek, that's by biological nations. A nation which is comprised of people who are children of the original members, so Sancheirev Bilbel is Kula Umos. But Amalek is not based on a biological dissension, Ben Achar Ben Achar Ben. It's an ideological nation. Anyone who takes on the ideology of wiping out the Jewish people has automatically been awarded the status of Amalek, whether he was related to the original Amalekim or not. It is an idea, it's an amorphous type nation. Whoever takes on this ideology, they themselves become a Amalek. But let's say they could work in the reverse as well. Let's say someone's father was an Amaleki, and then now he decides he doesn't want that to be his ideology. So then he's not. He's not from the nation of Amalek. So says Rabbi Mirsky, that could help us with our problem. What do you mean, B'nai Banav Shoham Alam Ditar B'nai Brak? Haman's agenda was to wipe out the Jewish people. He was a Amalek. But his children might not have been a Amalek. If they didn't have that ideology, they didn't carry on that ideology, then they would not have had the status of a Amalek, and we could accept them as a ger. So the Medrash Tanchuma, when it says you can't accept a ger from a Amalek, means someone who was a practicing Amaleki, who now comes to be Megayer, we can't accept him. But if the person was never a practicing Amaleki, then we could accept them for Geirus. Nonetheless, this is the, end parenthesis, this is the comment of the Manos HaLevi in explaining the Pasuk in Megillah's Esther. The Pasuk Pshat, though, in the Megillah is that we didn't accept them as Geirim because they came for an ulterior motive. They came because it was good to be a Jew, and we don't accept Geirim who are coming because it's good to be a Jew, or for any ulterior motive. If a person is coming because of a marriage, or for any other reason, to get Zchuyot in Eretz Yisrael, you can't accept them to be a Jew because they have to come with sincere motivation. If they would be Megara, the Geirus would be good, but originally we can't accept them as Geirus. That was in the times of Mordechai Esther. Let's fast forward to modern times, or somewhat modern times, to the common case, which comes before the Beis Din, which is the person is involved in a relationship, a Jewish man or a Jewish woman is involved in a relationship with a non-Jewish partner, and they decide at some point in the relationship that they would like to convert their non-Jewish partner and settle back into the Jewish community. Can we accept the ger under those circumstances? So look here at Tosos. This is crucial. Tosos, which I think is source number 8. Is that correct? Yeah. Tells us in Yavamis on Chavdal and Mabez. Avakasha, Daminu Baharel. This is on the Gemara that we don't accept a ger if it comes from an ulterior motive. Daminu Baharel, we'll learn in the Gemara in Yavamis later on. Gabi Maisin to give onim, which we don't have time to get into now, who they were, but they came in the times of David to be Megayer. And they accepted on Yisrael Kuf Nun Elef, 150,000 gerim from the Gibonim. But we said we don't accept gerim in the times of David. When David ruled Eretz Yisrael, it was very prosperous to be a Jew. They were Megayer by themselves. But they weren't real gerim. Because Achman Gabi Mordechai Ve'Esther, Rabbi Me'ami Oretz Mishyahadim. So it's also goes in this approach, that they were not real gerim. Then here's the crucial line. Tosas asks, Vahi, another kasha. Vahi the parak based the Shabbos Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph. The end, the Gemara at the end of Bamem Avikin. Hahuda also kamei de Hillel. The Gemara there tells a few stories of Gerim, potential Gerim, who came before Hillel. One who said, teach me Torah on one foot. And Hillel said to him, Adesani lach, chavecha lo savid. What is hateful to you, don't do to others. And then the Gemara tells another case where a Gerim came before Hillel. Va'omar Gerani amenas lasis kohen gadol. The Gemara says that there was a man who was walking out, milling around outside the Beis Medrash, and he heard him describing these fantastic big day Kohen Gadol. So he said, who are those for? So they told him, it's for the Kohen Gadol. So he said, oh good, I want to be Megayer, make me the Kohen Gadol. So Shammai, they say, threw him out of the Beis Medrash. Then he went to the Beis Medrash, so Hillel, and Hillel accepted him as a ger. How can you accept him as a ger? First of all, it's under false pretenses, but how can you accept him as a ger? He wasn't coming with Shema. He wasn't coming for to become part of the Jewish religion. He was coming because he liked the begotten. Says Tosfos, Batuach Chaya Hillel. Hillel was certain the Sof Olas was the same Shemayim. Hillel knew, even though his original motivation was what to wear big day Kohen Gadol. But since Hillel knew, he could tell from this, from talking to him, that he was going to become L'Shem Shemayim at the end, then you can accept such a ger. That's what Tosfos says. And this could be very relevant to halacha l'maisa. Look at the next source, which is the tshuva of the Ma'am and the Ho'il. Ma'am and the Ho'il was, of course, of David Zvi Hoffman, the head of the Hildesheimer Seminary after Rabbi Hildesheimer, before the Sfirei Yesh. And here's the tshuva about our case. A man was involved with a non-Jewish woman, and or vice versa, and they want to bring their partner for gerus. So he says the following. We know the halacha, the ein mekavlin ger shabod this ger b'shvil shenasan ein avishi yehudis. A man who is, non-Jewish man who is involved with a Jewish woman, and they want to come to convert, we can't let them, we can't accept them as a convert. If we'll convert them, it'll be good, but we can't accept them initially. Omnam, kvar hitchwal of Tosfos, but Tosfos asks, we learned in the Gemara in Shabbos, may Hillel the Gear Lagoy. From the fact that Hillel was Megayer Lagoy Shom and Asas was Kohen Gadol. He wanted to be a Kohen Gadol. B'tiritz Tosfos, the third line in the middle. The Betulchen Hoyu, the Sof Olasos L'Shem Shemayim. Tosfos says we knew, how is Hillel Megayer him? He knew that he was going to be L'Shem Shemayim. Because of Beis Yosef, Behuva B'Shach. Beis Yosef writes based on this, and it's quoted by the Shach, the Mikan Yesh Lomod, the Hakol Lefi Ra'os Enei HaBezdin. Everything depends on the oppression of the Bezdin. If they think this person will, in the end of the day, be L'Shem Shemayim, we can accept him as a ger. V'hine, in Borer Be'enei HaBezdin, Sha'osim L'Shem Shemayim, if the Bezdin can tell that the reason they're coming for Geras is L'Shem Shemayim, after Nosan ain't of gam beisha Yehudis, even though he's involved with a Jewish woman, yesh lahatu kabla, we can accept him because Beitin can tell. V'hine benidon didan. In our case, the kvar nosa haYehudis b'dinayim. They already got civilly married. V'hi kvar kira atman uberes mimenu. She already is carrying his child. Of course they're going to live together even though there is no Gerus. Meaning if they're going to live together without our stamp of approval or not, whether we're Megayer him or not, they're going to continue to live together. So even though the original motivation for come for Gerus is because they're involved, but since they're going to continue anyway without us, why do they need us? Must be that they are L'Shem Shemayim. So even though they're involved, there is a previous relationship, we can't accept them for Geirus if it appears to us that in the end of the day, it will be L'Shem Shemayim. And this is a tremendous kula. So, no, again, we said we don't accept gerim if they're involved with a Jewish person in a relationship. But says Muhammad the Whole, based on earlier sources as well, that if they're already involved and they're going to continue to be involved with or without us, that's not a gerus or semishus. They're only coming to us because they want to become Jewish. And there's reasons to be mekel, there's grounds to be mekel in such a case. But let's remember that we came out from the Gemara with two prohibitions, min derabbanan. Number one, we're not supposed to accept the ger who comes for ulterior motives. But let's say the ger did come for ulterior motives, and we did accept them. Now can they get married? No, that's the Mishnah. Hanitan al-Agoya, a person who is a rumor about him, that he had a relationship with a non-Jewish woman, even if she's Megayah, he can't get married. So it's stuck. You can be Megayah her, good. But they can't get married. So we said, why is that? So the Pesukim here also try and find wiggle room for us. We said, why is there a prohibition to get married afterwards? So the Gemara said, Lazus Hasayim, we're afraid what people are going to say. What are people going to say already? So Rashi there explains that people are going to say that the rumor was true. Before it was only a rumor. They're talking about in the back of shul that this guy had a relationship with a non-Jewish woman. Then we see she converts, and now he marries her. So then we all know it's true now. That's Lazus Hasayim. Before it was a rumor. Maybe it wasn't even true. Now people are going to think it's true. That's what Rashi says. So the Rishonim already noticed from Rashi, it is true. It is true. He did have a relationship with her. It wasn't just a rumor. It's true. So maybe there is no prohibition. The whole reason was because it was a rumor and people are now going to say, hey, it was true, the rumor. What if it was true? So maybe there is no problem. The Divrei Chayim, the Chayim of Tzanz, suggest that pshat in Rashi. The Rishonim already noticed this implication of Rashi, that if there would for sure have been a relationship with the person, then perhaps it would be permissible. However, the Rashbah in Yevamos doesn't like this Rashi. He takes issue with it. Because he quotes from a Tosefta. The Tosefta says explicitly that even if there was for sure a previous relationship between these two people, they can't get married. They can't get married. Why not? The Gemara says we're afraid of what people are going to say. What are people going to say? It's true? It was true. What are we afraid of? So Chaim Ozer explains in his Shuvas Achiezer, which you have in front of you in source 10, but not in the piece that I have over here. Chaim Ozer explains that what we're afraid of is that it's going to be mefarsem the Avera. Before, we had a relationship with her. Some people suspected it. Perhaps it had been true, but some people suspected it. Now, it's going to be institutionalized. Everyone's going to know about it. You let them get married? So people might have suspected him. Let's say it was true. But now everyone's going to know about it. You're going to let them get married. It's going to be mefarsem in the Avera. Moshe takes a similar approach and he bases it on a very important Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara has a contradiction in Yuma between two psukim. One pasuk says in Tehillim that it's praiseworthy to cover over one's sins. If one sins, you shouldn't talk about it. Just keep it to yourself. Ashrei no sei pshav. Then there's another pasuk in Mishlei that says mechase pshav lo yatzliach. Person covers over his averus, he'll never be matzliach. If you don't address them and recognize them, he'll never be matzliach. So Gemara says, which is it? Are you supposed to publicize it? Or are you supposed to cover it over? So Gemara says, ha b'chet mefursam, ha b'chet she'enu mefursam. If everyone knows about it, you should do a public tshuva. If nobody knows about it, keep it to yourself. Because it'll encourage other people to do averus. So Moshe says here, when nobody knew about it before, they suspected it, but nobody knew. If you're going to let them get married, it's going to be mefaras in the other. But let's say they were civilly married. They're living in the same apartment. They take walks together. They go out to eat together. We all know about it. It's documented. They had a relationship. So what about now? So under those circumstances, Moshe suggests perhaps there's room to be mekel. Perhaps since they had a relationship. It's not the suspicion. We know about it. And it's been meforsam. Then perhaps under those circumstances, you don't make the situation any worse by allowing them to continue being married. Rav David Tzvi Hoffman also suggests this, but he cautions. He puts in a note of caution, which is that the Gemara says, Shalo yehei chote nisgar. We don't want someone who did a worse avera, a more egregious avera, to benefit from that. So let's say a person only had a suspicion that he had a relationship with a non-Jewish woman. So then we don't let them get married. But the guy lived, b'farhesi with her, he got married, civilly married, they're living together, and now all of a sudden they have b'farhesi kulus. We could be Megayah her, we could let them get married. So you're letting a person who did a more egregious avera have more kulos. So you have to be careful that you don't encourage people to have relationships, interfaith relationships, because that will engender kulos on our part. So you have to know the circumstances of where one would give such a kula, but there is more wiggle room. Shlomo Kluger, again, so we had one heter for a person, we said we don't accept gay, we come for ulterior motives. So we said if they're already married, what are they coming to us for? Must be they're coming for us because they want to genuinely be part of the Jewish religion and practice Judaism. Number two, we said, but we can't let them get married. So we said that could be perhaps only because we're afraid of what people might say. What if everyone knows about it already? Perhaps we have more room to be makel. Reb Chaim Moser and Reb Shlomo Kluger have another kind of umbrella consideration. Shlomo Kluger was asked about a man who was drafted by the army, non-Jewish army, obviously, in Europe. He was a religious man, but he was drafted by the army, went out to fight, and he got involved while he was out fighting with a non-Jewish woman. And he came back after the war, and he said he wanted to continue being married to her, he wanted to continue having a relationship with her. So he asked the Beis Din to please be Megayah her. If they wouldn't be Megayah her, he was going to live with her anyway, and he was going to go off the derech. So this shai was posed to Shlomo Kluger. So he mentioned the svaras that we mentioned before, and then he throws in another idea, which is Eis Lasos Hashem Eferus Oresecha. Sometimes we allow ourselves to violate a small prohibition rather than violate something much greater down the line. The Rambam gives the metaphor of the man who's not well, and sometimes you have to amputate a limb in order to save the entire body. So sometimes this is a prohibition of the Rabbanan. We don't accept a ger for an ulterior motive. That's the Rabbanan. We don't allow them to get married after. Also the Rabbanan. How do I know these are all the Rabbanan? Because it works with the Eved. You do it, it's chal. It's presumably the only the Rabbanan. These are the assumed the Rabbanan. To allow them to remain married to the Nachris. To allow them to remain intermarried, that's presumably a prohibition midaraisa. So better to violate the little prohibition midarabanan than allow him to continue to be married to a non-Jewish woman. We don't have time to read it right now. Reb Chaim Moser found such a precedent already in the Tshuvas HaRambam. The Rambam has a tshuva about such a case, and the Rambam also employs the logic of Eis Lasos Hashem, Heferis Arasecha, and Takanas Hashavim. We allow people coming to do tshuva certain leniencies. Again, Reb Chaim Moser throws in that this has its limitations as well. We're trying to do the guy a tova over here, right? We're trying to do the woman a tova. Better to violate a little prohibition than violate a much bigger prohibition. But let's say they're intermarried. A person's intermarried. Spouse isn't religious. Spouse is religious, but how religious could he be? He's going out with a non-Jewish girl. So if she's not going to be religious after she converts, says Reb Chaim Moser, we're not doing her any tovas. We're making her much less religious. Because before, she was a goya, all she had was seven mitzvahs. Now she has 613. There's no nida, there's no Shabbos when she's not Jewish. Now she's going to convert. Now she has nida to worry about, now she has Shabbos to worry about. So if she's not going to keep her mitzvahs, we're not doing anybody any favors. And instead, we're not minimizing prohibitions, we're increasing the amount of prohibitions. So you have to be careful about that as well. In such a similar consideration, the Gemara says in Maseches Ksubis, Daf Yud Aleph and Aleph, a very famous Gemara, that Ger Katan Masbilin Oso Al Das Beis Din. People want to convert, let's say, the baby who's not Jewish, they want to convert them to Judaism. So normally, the person who comes to convert is a cognizant person, an adult, decides Judaism is for him, he wants to come and convert. What about a Ger Katan? An infant. So the Gemara says you can convert him to Judaism, because Zachon the Adam Shalo Befanav. The concept of the Gemara has in a number of places. If I see a matana or someone comes to give you a present, I can accept the present on your behalf. Because presumably you would want me to do so. Zachon the Adam, I can do a meritorious thing for you, Shalo Befanav. Says the Gemara, it's meritorious to be a Jew. So we can make him Jewish. Zachon the Adam Shalo Befanav, even though he is, so to speak, not here. He's an infant. So we can make him Jewish even though he's not here. So the Sfidei Yesh has a tshuva, and they quote the same thing in the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik. What if the family's not religious? It's meritorious to be Jew. Is it meritorious to be a not religious Jew? Or is it meritorious to be a Jew, a religious Jew? So the Sfidei Yesh and the Rav both said that if it's a not religious family, you're not doing the guy any favors. Because now he's going to be Jewish, and he's going to be violating Averis all the time. So there's no tzchus. So the Geris is no good. Because it's not meritorious for the child to be Jewish. You know, they tell the story of a couple, married, a Jewish couple, assimilated. They moved to New England, whatever, somewhere in the United States, and they assimilate. Child has no idea about Judaism. Knows he's Jewish, but doesn't know anything about it. And it's Christmas time, and they celebrate the cultural holidays of America, so it's a Christmas tree, or whatever, Hanukkah bush, whatever they have. And he goes to visit his Christian friend that time of the year, and he sees that the Christian friend has a Christmas tree. So he comes home to his parents, and he says, bewildered, he says, Christians also celebrate Christmas? So such a thing is not a tzvus. There's no meritorious to be a Jew in such a case. It's only meritorious to be a Jew if the person is going to be keep Torah mitzvahs. So again, we addressed two points that came out of the Gemara. The first point is, number one, that we're not supposed to accept a ger if it comes from ulterior motives. And we mentioned perhaps certain points of leniency. Then we mentioned, number two, that even if they convert, we don't allow them to get married. Okay? But the third point of the Gemara, kulam gerim heim. If a person converts from an ulterior motive, the geris is good. Why? Reb Nechemia's opinion was the Geris is no good. Why was the Geris no good? Why did he believe the Geris was no good? So the Ritva there explains in the Masechet Yevamos that the reason the Geris was no good was because we questioned his Kabbalah Tol Mitzvos. Person comes to convert for another reason. Why is he coming? Because he wants Chuyot in Eretz Yisrael, because he wants to marry the Jewish person. So presumably he's not going to keep Torah Mitzvos. That's not why he's coming. He doesn't want to be part of the Jewish religion. He wants to do something else. The only way he can do so is by becoming part of the Jewish religion. So we question his Kabbalah Tol Mitzvos. But we don't pass him like Reb Nechemia. We pass him Kulam Gerim Heim. Why? Why are we so sure? So the Ritva there says, because Agav Umsai Hu Gomer V'Kibel. It's here on the sheet, right before the Kosos. Agav Umsai Hu Gomer V'Kibel. What does that mean? Because of an onus, they'll be forced to keep them. How will they be forced to keep them? Because to live in a Jewish community, presumably, to live in a Jewish community, if you're going to be Megayah, where are you going to live? In a Jewish community. You can't live in a Jewish community and not keep Torah Mitzvot to be ostracized. You're going to marry a Jewish person. In the same house, under the same roof, one person is going to be keeping Torah Mitzvot, one person's not. You're going to be forced to, based on your circumstances, to keep Torah Mitzvot. That's what the Ritva says. So right to Rabbi Herzog was the first chief Ashkenazic chief rabbi after the establishment of the State of Israel. He writes in his shul, Hefel Yitzchak, that what is this? Is this true in modern times? Person converts to Judaism? The community compels him to keep Torah and Mitzvot? Even in Eretz Yisrael, it's questionable. Community compels him to keep Torah and Mitzvot? Or even in the same relationship? Because he marries a Jew, by definition, he's going to keep Torah and Mitzvot? It's a little bit shaky. So we heard that not true, this whole halacha applies anymore. Scary. That means if a person converts for another religion, for another purpose, an ulterior motive, maybe we don't say kulam gerim heim. He suggests it. It's a possibility. Ramosha suggests a similar thing. If a spouse isn't religious, who's going to force him to keep? Let's say a person is marrying a Jewish spouse. He's converting to marry his Jewish partner. And the Jewish partner isn't religious. So who's going to compel them to keep Torah mitzvahs? Nobody. So maybe under those circumstances, we are afraid that the person is not, in the end of the day, will also not keep Torah mitzvot. We'll close with a very interesting Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisuri Biyah, we don't have time to read it right now, but the Rambam writes that when a person converts for an ulterior motive, Hayu Beizin Hagadol Choshishin Lahem, it's underlined, the last source on the sheet. Beizin Hagadol would be Choshish, would be suspicious of them. We're going to push them away, and we're not makar of them. Rambam says we're suspicious of them. And this is generally interpreted because, not all, not everyone, not across the board, but one could suggest that the pshat in the Rambam is, the explanation is, why are we suspicious of him? Because his original motivation was not for Judaism, but for an ulterior purpose. So the Rambam seems to say, we watch him with a suspicious eye. See how he behaves. Hochiach sobo chiloso, he throws in. Achitizbar tzikuso. Until we realize that he is genuinely interested in becoming part of the Jewish religion and accepting Torah and mitzvos. Based on this, Rabbi Gorin, who's the third chief rabbi, I think, of Eretz Israel, in the early 70s, when this is a very hot topic, was confronted with the following case, which is called Be'inyan Ha'achva Achos. It's published by a separate sefer. The whole literature surrounding this case is published in a separate sefer by the Rabbanut, called Be'inyan Ha'achva Achos, which was of a woman whose name was, I'm not telling you any secrets, it is all publicized, Chava Langer, who was married in Russia to she's Jewish, and she was married to a non-Jew in Russia named Boak Barkovsky. And she converted, he was converted to Shem Ishus in order that he should be able to marry Chava Langer. And but the relationship didn't work out. She ended up moving to Eretz Israel without a divorce. She never got a get. She moved to Eretz Israel, and she married Otto Langer, who was Jewish. And they had two children, Miriam and Chanoch or something. And the question was, are these two children mamzerim? Because she never got a get from the original husband. So Rabbi Gorin Paskind, and it was controversial at the time, but Rabbi Gorin Paskind, that she did, the children are not mamzerim. Ha'af v'achos, the brother and sister are not mamzerim, because his original geirus was no good. Boak Barkovsky's original geirus was no good. Why? Because in the end of the day, after they got divorced, after she left him, what did he do? He reverted back. Choshen lo, according to the Rambam, Choshen lo achetiz barer tzukuso. We worry about him. We watch him and see how what happens. What's the end result of this geirus? And when she left him, there was no geirus. There was no kabbalas on mitzvos. And without kabbalas on mitzvos, unless a person accepts the Torah and mitzvos, the geirus is no good. So Rabbi Gorin used that lekula, not only lekumra that we shouldn't accept the geir who comes with that motivation, it doesn't accept Torah and mitzvos, but lekula to be lenient on this brother and sister that they should not be considered mamzerim. But these are some of the issues that are come up under these circumstances.